It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Sundays. And you get a first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our podcasts and op-eds for the week. And so be sure and sign up there as well. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We would greatly appreciate that. It is Monday. Happy Monday, Producer Steve.
Yeah.
You know what? The days are getting shorter. Can you believe that the sun is not quite up yet? The days are getting shorter.
Well, we said over the weekend, there goes the halfway mark of August.
Can you believe it?
No.
It's like warp speed. You know, and once we get back from Labor Day, and Labor Day's late this year, once we get back, then election cycle, that is a time where people really start to pay attention. So we have a lot of work to do, my friends. We'll go through some headlines in this first and second segment. Third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Pam Long. And again, go to my website. She has written a very important piece, an op-ed there. Our deaths of despair surpassing COVID-19 deaths. And we're going to be talking about just these deaths of despair. And so that will be in the third and fourth segment. She is a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point, a U.S. Army veteran, and a former medical intelligence officer. So she knows what she is talking about. I'm a Trumpster. You might have listened to the guys yesterday afternoon. They have a radio show right here on KLZ 560 from 4 to 5 p.m. And this bus that we have been talking about, things have gotten delayed, but we are going to be having a very important announcement here soon, so stay tuned. Thank you to all of you that contributed. For every $50 that you contribute, you will receive a battle mask. And we are going to be getting together. The date, we'll be getting back with you. If you would like your battle mask before that, this has been a little seat of the pants where we've done this, very grassroots. Just email me your address and how many battle masks, and I will get those sent off to you. And so be sure to listen in because we'll be making a big announcement here very soon. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And what we've also seen is freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. We've seen this COVID-19 Wuhan virus fear that has been fomented within our communities. And I received a really interesting, let's see if I can get to it, text yesterday. If I can get right to it, it was, hold on here, it was a meme. It says, imagine, if you will, a virus so dangerous that you have to be tested to even know that you had it. And Joe Biden last week said that he thought he might make masks, if he was elected, or he would make masks mandatory for the next 3 months. Let's see. What's the next 3 months, Steve? Let's see. August. We'll have August, September, October, November. What do you think about that, Producer Steve?
Can you say pander?
Socialism ultimately comes down to force, and a lot of people get hurt on the way to socialist utopia. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or now we see their livelihoods via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear.
Yeah, I'm glad. It's funny how things progress here or evolve. You just used to say that with just three entities, and now you've added a fourth, fear.
Fear. Mm-hmm. And if something's a good idea, then you shouldn't need to use fear or force to implement it. We have to ask these critical thinking questions of what and why and when and how and where and who. And our quote for today is Albert Einstein. And actually, I backfilled this. I was looking for a quote regarding for the end of the show. And it was, I think, a very appropriate quote, and it was Albert Einstein. So then I went to Albert Einstein quotes and found this one, who I thought this was really a great one. But Albert Einstein was a German-born theoretical physicist who developed the theory of relativity, one of the two pillars of modern physics. His work is also known for its influence on the philosophy of science. He is best known to the general public for his mass energy equivalence formula, E equals MC2, which has been dubbed the world's most famous equation. He was born in 1879 and died in 1955. Did I say that formula correctly, Steve, or do you know?
E equals MC squared.
I knew. Clearly, physics was not my best subject.
That's why we had this glass between us. You saw my eyebrows go up, didn't you?
I did. Oh, boy, that's going to be one for April 1st, isn't it?
Oh, thank you. One for the blooper reel. Okay.
E equals MC squared. Okay, there we go. Okay, he says, if you want your children to be intelligent, read them fairy tales. If you want them to be more intelligent, read them more fairy tales. I believe that. I read fairy tales all the time when I was a kid. I had a book of 50 different fairy tales. It was Grimm's Fairy Tales. And, guys, you learn a lot from fairy tales, Steve.
The snarky side of me is trying to read something into that that I probably shouldn't read into it, but okay.
Okay. Wanted to go through some of these headlines here. MC squared. Oh, man, I'm so embarrassed. Okay, let's jump into some headlines. As I was mentioning, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. We have seen policy regarding this COVID-19 Wuhan virus that has closed down businesses. And policy that came in and it defined which business was essential and which business wasn't. And do you not find it so interesting that the big box stores, they were considered essential, but Main Street, your mom and pop businesses, middle class America, many of them were deemed non-essential. And then Patty found this headline here that CU economists say the state will lose more than 128,000 jobs in 2020. Says economists at the Leeds Business Research Division of the University of Colorado Boulder predict Colorado's economy will shed about 128,000 jobs this year. CU's Colorado Business Economic Outlook, initially released in December, had predicted the addition of a little over 40,000 jobs. The revision shows just how devastating the COVID-19 pandemic has been to the state's economy. They continue, we have no context nationally or in Colorado in which to assess this magnitude of economic devastation, Richard Wobekind, senior economist and faculty director of the Leeds Business Research Division, said in a news release that accompanied the report. We can try and compare it to the Great Recession, but the numbers are orders of magnitude different. We never shut the economy down before. Industries most affected by the slowdown include hospitality, which is expected to lose about 77,000 jobs in 20. The trade, transportation, and utility sector, which economists predict will lose about 13,000 jobs. I find it interesting that they don't mention anything about oil and gas. Of course, oil and gas was already getting kicked around because of the policies and the legislation that was passed by this particular legislature and signed in to law by the governor. I think there's been a bit of arrogance about regarding Colorado and the job creation here. One of the reasons that Colorado has done really well is because we have TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, which basically it's about good manners. It's about consent. And TABOR was passed back in 1992 by the people of Colorado as an amendment to the state constitution. And it says three things. It says, hey, PBIs, you politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, if you want to raise our taxes, you just need to have the good manners to get our consent. You have to ask us. If you want to incur debt that we, taxpayers, will have to pay off, you just have to have the good manners to ask us for our consent. And if we're in very good times here in Colorado, and revenues come in above a very generous formula of population plus inflation, any of those revenues above that, if the taxing entity wants to keep that money, then they just need to have the good manners to ask us for our consent. Now, what has happened with a number of these small, like metro districts, some of these cities, some of these counties, if they have done something that's called detabering. And what that is it puts into the language in a ballot question just that that question regarding the excess revenue, that if, in fact, there's excess revenue, can they keep that? But it's really been sneaky the way they did that. And so many times when you'll look at like a parks and recreation tax increase or a library district or a metro district, they'll have that detabering language embedded in there. And when I see that in there, Steve, I vote no, because I think that that is actually disingenuous and dishonest. When we had Dennis Gallagher on last week to talk about the Gallagher Amendment, and that repeal of the Gallagher Amendment, which was passed in, I think, 1982 by the people of Colorado, which was to try to keep a lid on increases on our property taxes, he said that the language on this ballot question is disingenuous. And so if you have to be deceitful or disingenuous to get something passed, then I think we, the people of Colorado, have to say no, Steve.
Well, isn't that a game of semantics, too, where they drop in the word fee? One, you know, they trade off one three-letter word for another. It's not a tax. It's a fee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Right, and that's disingenuous as well. There's going to be a couple of different ballot questions, though, you need to be aware of. And one of them is regarding that work around the word fee, is if a fee brings in above a certain amount of revenue to the entity, then that they will need to get our permission to institute that fee, which I think is really important. And then John Caldera over at the Independence Institute, they have a question on the ballot which would reduce income taxes here in Colorado by just a little bit, but it really would help. And then Jason McBride had gone through this. We had tried to explain how the Trump tax cuts actually ended up as a revenue increase for the state of Colorado. And Jason McBride went through that, and we explained that last week. So Colorado actually got a revenue increase with the Trump tax cuts, and so this income tax decrease would bring that more in line. And I tell you, Steve, right now, with everybody hurting as much as they are, instead of government getting bigger and bigger, I think it's better that people have more money in their own pocket, Producer Steve.
Well, that's a broad brush statement, but it's the broad brush truth.
It is the broad brush truth. And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, Zach, Keith, Patty, Steve, and Charlie, and also to each of you listeners. You are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart. Take care of your soul. Take care of your mind, and take care of your body. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my very valued partners. They have five Colorado locations: Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, and curbside service. Monday through Friday is happy hour, 3 to 6 p.m. They have select appetizers that are half off. Wednesdays are Wings Day, all the wings you can eat, dine-in only, for $15.99. They have lunch specials, and kids eat free, and beer of the month. And, you know, we are starting to have some sports, which is great. And they have TVs, so you can watch all these different games there and get together with friends and just enjoy these great Colorado days here in August and early September. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk more headlines. This is Kim Munson. Stay tuned.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You get first look at everything that we're going to be doing the next week, as well as our most recent podcasts and most recent op-eds. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. Going through some headlines here, you know, there's the whole conversation about mail-in ballots. And Donald Trump said that basically it's open to fraud, but it is open to disaster. Because first of all, there is no way that these states can be ramped up to have a mail-in voting system this close to the election. And so you have to ask yourself, which party is it that is wanting to push towards mail-in voting? And think about how expensive this is, Steve, to send out a ballot to every person, or, you know, every voter in the state. And you know, and then there's been the aggressiveness of you go in and you get your new driver's license or you get your car registered and you can register to vote there. There is something about a civic duty, and that is you should have to have some responsibility to register to vote, first of all, and you need to show ID. To do that, you have to show ID to buy some cold medications and a variety of things. You should have to show ID to vote as well. There is no way that the Postal Service could actually ramp up for the millions and millions of ballots that would be coming through. I just mailed something right here in Denver to a P.O. box right here in Denver. And as of last week, 10 days later, it had not arrived yet, Steve. So the idea that we think that we could actually have voter integrity and, you know, with an all-in mail-in voting is impossible. But here we go on the Hill. The U.S. Postal Service has warned state election officials of inconsistencies between its delivery service and state deadlines for receiving and counting mail-in ballots, raising the possibility that many votes may not arrive in time to be counted. The warnings were delivered in letters to state election officials by the USPS General Counsel and Executive Vice President Thomas Marshall. In letters to 40 states, the Postal Service warned that state deadlines to request, return, and count ballots may clash with the realities of mail delivery at a time when the United States Postal Service is already facing financial troubles, delivery delays, and an expected influx of election-related mail. The Washington Post reported Friday after obtaining the documents through a records request. You have to ask yourself, why would one particular party be pushing for a system that actually will not work, that would really throw the election results into limbo? Why would a party want to do that? If in fact you honor your voters, you're going to want to have election integrity. But here we see the party that continues to try to dilute your votes, either by mail-in voting here with the National Popular Vote Compact, where instead of Colorado's votes counting for Colorado, whatever the National Popular Vote winner would be, is that our vote, our Electoral College votes would go to that. You have to ask yourself why, and go back to Jay Davidson's op-ed that is on my website, A Time for Choosing. I think he pretty well nails it there, Steve.
Well, as we go through this period of, you know, the virus and then the government trying to ease the impact, the HEROES Act was out there, and I guess it was pending. It's still pending. There was a line item in the HEROES Act, and I think it was $20 billion, that's a billion with a B, for the post office. And my, you know, the flags go up instantaneously. The post office has been running in the red for decades. And all of a sudden now there's great concern. I don't get that. Well, I do get it. I'm saying I don't get it, but I do. I had a laugh, though, when you first started here in on this story. You said, imagine the cost of mailing out, and I want to inject dead or alive. because, I, you know, and now these Taylor Swift, I guess, is jumping all over Trump because he's got concerns about what could potentially happen here. And again, the language that's used. Well, he's denying people their right to vote. No, he's not.
He is not. People need to have responsibility. They have a civic duty if they're going to vote. And first of all, just to have something. And think about the cost. And I know personally that we receive a ballot at our house for someone that has moved out of state. And I just had kind of wondered how long that's going to occur. And apparently there is, I think, 30 states where they compare their voters' rolls, but that means that there's 20 that don't. So, I mean, technically somebody could vote in a couple of different states as well. So you have to ask yourself, are we moving towards voter integrity, election integrity, or are we trying to move towards fraud and opportunity for cheating? And so with that, my friends, if you wonder what you can do this particular election cycle, first of all, help Reggie and Johnny with I'm a Trumpster because they're going to continue to, you know, need funds as they fill that bus up and take it into ethnic communities. But that will be one thing to do. Another thing to do is you could be an election judge. And that is very, very important because if a signature is questioned here in Colorado, that ballot then is moved off to another place where a Democrat and a Republican will sit down and do a comparison of that signature to determine whether or not that is a valid signature or not. And I know that there has been some counties where there's been shenanigans at that particular point in time. And so if you want to do something for this election, I would recommend that you consider being an election judge. Many times it is senior citizens that do that, but with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus, many of them are a bit concerned about being, you know, out in public. So it would be a good thing for younger people to step forward and do that. Another thing that I wanted to mention here that Patty had pulled, and this is from Reuters. Vaccine makers, including Moderna, must hit U.S. timing goals for full payments. The podcast that we did with Dr. Jill Vecchio last week, she has started some significant research regarding these vaccine makers. Moderna, which has been, one of the companies that has been touted as kind of ahead of the curve, if you will, regarding making a vaccine for COVID-19. Interestingly enough, Jill has found out that in her research that they have never produced or brought a product to market. Yet, if they hit these different targets, they will receive $1.5 billion from the U.S. government. They have to hit different targets, but they're on a fast track to get this vaccine out by January of 2021. Now, you guys, I think let's just do a little Rudyard Kipling questions. It's like, what do we really think that a vaccine that is fast-tracked for 100 million doses for January 2021, do you really want to be first in line to get that vaccination? And as I mentioned also, that this COVID-19 Wuhan virus, they're saying you may not even know that you have it. I mean, it seems like there's something a bit political going on with this forced vaccination that may be coming down the pike. And the fact that Moderna has not brought a product to market, but yet they're on track to possibly receive $1.5 billion from the U.S. government, I think should raise some real questions. So with that, let's jump over here to Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Jason McBride, did you have a good weekend?
Well, I did, but I got some really unsettling news as well. I found out my grandfather, who is a staunch Republican, voted for Joe Biden this year, and you know, if he were only still alive, this never would have happened.
Yeah, and he's probably going to vote again, too, right?
Well, I can't prove he voted more than once yet.
Okay. So, yeah, it's going to get really interesting, Jason. Kamala Harris, I heard yesterday on the news that a women's group had come out and kind of warned different news outlets, be too tough on Kamala, or we're going to come after you. You know what? We need to show the real policies of these people. We need to go back and look at their history. And I think it's an interesting pick. Any comments about that?
Oh, I think this whole process, whether they debate pretty much the entire media with Biden, Harris, and the counter side to that being Trump, this is truly going to be David versus Goliath. And you would think the president would be Goliath, but in this case, he's going to be David.
He is going to be David. Of course, we know how that story worked out, but we've got a lot of work to do between now and Election Day, and of course, things will really ramp up. I think people are paying attention, Jason, but they'll really start to pay attention after Labor Day. So we've got a lot of work to do. So, what's the market saying, though? What do they think?
Well, the markets, have been pretty quiet, actually, the last 2 or 3 days. Not a whole heck of a lot of big movement. The Dow had a pretty good day Wednesday, up about 300, but Thursday and Friday it was fairly quiet. This morning the futures are up 60, so also not a great big huge move. Kim, a couple of things that people could take a look at. One, I know I've said this a few times, but I think it bears repeating. Don't forget, if you took your required minimum distribution already this year and you only took it because the government said you had to, remember, they've waived RMDs this year due to the CARES Act, and you have up until the end of this month, August 31st, to put that required minimum distribution back into your IRA if you don't want to take it this year. And you can put back in any amount up to the amount you took out. It doesn't have to be the full amount, but you can't put it back in, obviously, more than what you took out.
Okay. And that needs to be done by the end of this month, then?
That's right. That's the deadline, August 31st.
Okay. So, you know, I really love the fact that you stay on top of all of these things, Jason McBride, because these things can make difference. If you can save money in taxes, that's like money in your pocket. It's a great return on your investment. So I know that you sit down, you and your colleagues there at Presidential, to talk with each individual, talk about risks, talk about goals, to put together something, a plan for them that can really work. So, Jason, I know that you would welcome doing just an economic checkup for people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things we do. I've done a couple of reviews with folks recently, and actually they were worried it was going to be bad news with all the junk they've heard in the media, thinking that probably things had gotten far, far, far worse for them, and that just wasn't the case. So don't be afraid to get a checkup, kind of look at where you're at. And, you know, Kim, if it was going to be bad news and you needed to make some changes, wouldn't you want to know that?
Right. And wouldn't you want to do that when the market has recovered to some degree as well? So it seems like good timing to do that. So, Jason, we've got this great landing page together, airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. All kinds of great information there. And then Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. Phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Sounds great, Kim. Have a good show.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Pam Long, she is a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point. She's a U.S. Army veteran, and she's a former medical intelligence officer. And she's been going through analyzing Colorado's reporting of deaths of despair. So you won't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. That's where you get the first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts, sounding off with Kim Munson and our op-eds. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. Go to my website. Pam Long, this was in last week's newsletter. She has done some very important analysis. And her op-ed, there are deaths of despair surpassing COVID-19 deaths. Pam Long, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. We're going to talk some COVID math today for all those thousands of new homeschoolers.
Okay, well, let's jump in here.
Okay, so what I did is I looked at deaths of despair compared to COVID deaths. So we know historically in research that for every 1% increase in unemployment, there will be 58,000 deaths of despair in the United States. And those are deaths caused by cardiac arrest, suicide, homicide, substance abuse, drug overdose, and domestic violence. So when you do this COVID math or deaths of despair with the 8.8 increase in unemployment, that is 500,000 deaths of despair projected compared to 137,000 COVID deaths through July as of the end of July. And when you look at the state level, that's national, we are expecting 9,000 deaths of despair compared to the 1,700 COVID deaths that have been reported by Colorado by the end of July.
So are these deaths of despair being researched and reported to the people of Colorado and also the United States?
Well, can you see in the media that you're getting daily reports of COVID deaths, but no reporting on deaths of despair, so which are tenfold increase over COVID deaths, this one virus. And that is a responsible analysis of public health. When you look at public health as a complex system and not just a single virus. So when you look at Colorado, CDPHE's deaths of despair, which I requested and analyzed, we are seeing a very strange phenomenon that Colorado is the only state actually reporting a decrease in deaths of despair. You look at 35 states reporting increases, the other remaining states reporting, you know, maybe status quo, and then you have Colorado with a 15% decrease in heart attacks and a 16% decrease in suicides. And that is unbelievable to me when you have reports of record calls to the Colorado Crisis Service Hotline, a 47% increase in March with 20,000 calls. It is time that the people of Colorado demand of their state lawmakers that CDPHE needs to be audited on these death numbers.
You know, Pam, you mentioned I think we've had about 1,700 deaths that are attributed to COVID here in Colorado, and you know, each of those people, they're treasured, they're valued, their families mourn for them. But I don't personally know anyone that has died from COVID. I know people that have had it and recovered, but I do know a friend of mine that recently committed suicide. And so I think it is important that, as you mentioned, public health is complex. It's not just one thing. But this focus on one thing and this focus, which has shut down our businesses, I don't know if you heard in the first segment, we were talking about the Colorado CU Leeds Business School said that Colorado looks like we're going to lose 128,000 jobs this next year. That's 128,000 people and the people of their families as well. That is so significant. And this all has been because of the shutdown of our economy, Pam Long.
Absolutely. And let's look at the, you know, I'm not the only one saying this, but let's look at the CDC director in the end of July in townhall.com. He's quoted as saying, CDC director Robert Redfield, suicide and drug overdoses have surpassed COVID-19 deaths among high school students. High school students are young people. You have a doctor out of California saying that he's seen a year's worth of suicide attempts in 4 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
In overdoses, CPR, Colorado Public Radio, August 7th, said there's been a 282% increase in drug overdoses in 2020. We have a real crisis here, and with the budget cuts that Colorado just went through, our crisis services are not equipped to meet this increased need.
Well, you know, and one of the places, Pam Long, that people go is churches. And the fact that our churches have been shut down, a church and worship is a place of hopefully grounding, of perspective, of healing, of being with others. This isolation thing is just really tragic. I mean, humans are social beings. This whole social distance thing where people are afraid to look, you know, hug each other. You have a mask on so you can't engage with a smile. This is really, I think, very dangerous, Pam Long.
Kim, I could just encourage your listeners to go to your website, get this data in my analysis, take it to your church leaders, your places of worship, and show them that this is the church's greatest hour. We need them open. Let's put this in perspective. 40 million job losses are expected in the U.S. for 2020. Previous to that, the 2008 recession, only 2.6 million job losses. I hope your listeners understand the magnitude, the wave of death of despair that are coming to our state and coming to our nation, and that the church and people who read the Bible in Scripture, Hebrews says, do not forsake assembling together so that you can encourage one another. People historically over, you know, history, people not of faith have benefited from the charity, from the food delivery, from the encouragement, from the social aspects of the church. This is the time the church doors should be wide open 7 days a week.
Well, and it is insidious that, in fact, Governor Polis has used his power via executive power to say which groups can meet, which can't, how close you can be together. And that's one of the things I'm really frustrated with all this licensing now, that why can't people just get together and worship at their churches? And you know, there's the fear of like a business losing their license. Churches, they must have, I don't know, certificate of occupancy. I can't quite figure out why they're concerned. But the other thing is we need to have immunity for these different entities that open up and have people coming there, because I think, you know, the trial attorneys are just hungry to sue an entity if they opened up and somebody came in and said, oh, I got COVID there. Then the entity, the church or the business, has to lawyer up to try to protect themselves. There needs to be some immunity, and then people can choose whether or not that they want to go to church or they want to go to church and worship online. But that choice has been taken away from people via executive order of this particular governor, and then all of these health departments, local health departments and state health departments that have been weaponized against everyday hardworking people, Pam Long.
Absolutely. And the church needs to be gently reminded by its congregants that it is no stranger to persecution. And I'm hard pressed to say that a call from the health department about 6 feet and some masks is truly persecution. I mean, we need to maybe step out of our culturally induced rule following and ask, who am I ultimately accountable to my government or to my God in my people?
Well, that is really the gut check question that we all have. And so, Pam, I was a bit of a rebel as far as not wearing a mask, just because I feel that I feel that it's, in Marxism, what they do is they get rid of the individual and they also take away private property. And so everybody wearing these masks, it takes away the individuality and the camaraderie of seeing somebody and smiling. And so I see that as really tyranny. I know that there are those that are compromised or are very concerned about, you know, going out and about, and a mask gives them security. They feel that, you know, it makes things safer. And to them, I want to respectfully say, please, yes, please wear a mask. But when you enter the word mandatory in on this, and everybody has to do it, and then the constant barrage of, if you don't wear a mask, you're a jerk. Wear a mask, save a life. You know, all that, it's something that is really pitting people against each other. And again, I think the church needs to step forward. And as you mentioned, be courageous. It's the church has been on the leading edge, typically, of protecting people's rights and their freedom.
Absolutely, Kim. And I would encourage anyone conflicted about a mask to go to the New England Journal of Medicine as late as May of 2020, saying that it does not prevent transmission of viruses, mask wearing, and it is to promote it as a public health policy is to promote hysteria. That is the New England Journal of Medicine. They are esteemed. They are established. This is not new science. This is old science. We're in a world of pseudoscience right now, where public health is groupthink is actually what it is that we are so focused on one virus. We have abandoned established science to promote pseudoscience, which is mask wearing. Wear a mask because it makes people feel better, maybe.
Well, but you know what, Pam Long, let's go to break, because I want to come back and talk a little bit about the executive order of Governor Polis, and what that does is how it pits people against each other, and what it has done to our businesses and to our churches, and how it has actually threatened them. And so let's go to break. On the line with me is Pam Long. She is a graduate of West Point, a U.S. Army veteran, and a former medical intelligence officer. She has a very important op-ed that is on my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, regarding the analysis that she did on the deaths of despair, comparing that to the deaths attributed to COVID-19 Wuhan virus. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is KimMunson.com, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Before we get back to Pam Long, I just wanted to say thank you to one of my new partners, and that is Castlegate Knives. They're located in Sedalia. They're a family-owned business. I would recommend to go out. I was just really impressed. They have knives for collectors. They said, and actually a lot of women are collectors of knives, which I find interesting. And then they have utility knives for, you know, people that pull up their sleeves and work every day building things. And then, of course, for the sportsmen. And then if you need a wedding gift, beautiful steak knife sets as well as kitchen knife sets as well. So for more information, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And, you know, just it's a great store. And I really, really appreciate their new partnership with us as well. Pam Long is on the line with me. She graduated from West Point. She is a U.S. Army veteran, a former medical intelligence officer. And Pam, before we get to the question that I mentioned, producer Steve had a comment.
Well, listening to you two talk and talk about what does the government have over a church? Well, you mentioned the certificate of occupancy. Yeah, that's probably a evident one, but there's one that's probably even a bigger stick. And having been part of a church staff for 12 years, it's that tax-exempt status.
Yeah, so that's the other thing that they hold over.
Big stick.
Yeah, a church's heads. Pam Long, any comments on that?
Well, again, we're in this time in history where the church has to choose who it will please. Will it choose the government and be a state church, or will it please what is mandated in Scripture, which is do not forsake assembling together?
I think that pretty well nails it, Steve. Yeah, he's shaking his head yes on that. Okay, Pam Long, I read the executive order that Governor Polis did regarding this mandatory mask wearing. And basically what it has said to businesses, it's making them be the enforcer. And they're saying to businesses, if you do not enforce this, then we may fine you. We may, there will be penalties that will be put onto your business. So now the business not only has to try to, you know, try to get customers in, they actually, they collect sales tax for the government on all the products that they sell. But now they have to be an enforcer. And then we also know that out here at Tri-County Health, that they have had volunteers that sit in parking lots watching people go into different businesses to see if they're wearing masks. This is really getting to a very dangerous time. And so I think your point, the fact that churches need to step up, Christians need to step up, is really important, Pam Long.
It's very important. We have grocery stores who most of them are assuming the best in people and have a policy of if you are not wearing a mask, we assume you have a medical condition of contraindication. All except for Sprouts in Colorado. And Sprouts is getting serious backlash. I personally took a bouquet of flowers to my Sprouts manager, where I have shopped for the past 10 years exclusively, and told her goodbye. I have a medical contraindication, as does my son, for mask wearing, and they will not let us in the store. And we said, we want to end this on a good note because I will not be wearing a mask and I will not be getting the vaccine because the mask is a precedent for a mandatory vaccine as well, mandated under an unconstitutional executive order by the governor.
And Pam Long, that brings up another subject then, and that is mandatory vaccines. I've said that this radical progressive group that has taken over the Democrat Party, this Democrat Party is no longer the party of JFK. This Democrat Party is about more and more government control over your life, which I'd recommend to go take a look at Jay Davidson's op-ed that's on my website as well about a time for choosing. But a couple of years ago, a mom reached out to me and said, you need to take a look at this legislation that is being presented here in Colorado regarding basically mandated vaccines or forced vaccinations. Now, they come around it a variety of different ways. But I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh my gosh, they are playing long ball. And, you know, us regular people, we're not paying attention. And I think that sometimes the freedom people are kind of playing tiddlywinks. I don't think that we actually understand what is going on. So I read that bill. And I can't remember the bill number, but it was back in 2019 regarding this
1312,
the vaccination. And so many parents, moms and dads and kids showed up at the state house and shut that down. But so this year there was another one that kind of backdoored it. And that was actually passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. And they did the hearing really. I don't know what word I want to say on it. It was sneaky. They basically said the hearing is going to be in a couple of days. It was on a Sunday. Can you believe that? A hearing down at the legislature on a Sunday at noon. because I think that they thought people wouldn't show up. People showed up, Pam, but they are passing that through, and it's really kind of a backdoor forced vaccination, which, as you mentioned, you look at mandatory mask wearing, the next word that you can insert in there is vaccines. And we talked in the first segment, Moderna, that is one of those companies touted as one of the big vaccine makers, has never brought nor distributed a product to market, Pam Long.
Absolutely. And SB-163, which is this year's bill that you just referred to, has actually been deferred for 1 year because of the impending exodus of thousands of students out of public schools. And it's actually going to a rules hearing at the end of August. So people who want to have input on this tracking of people who exempt from even one vaccine at a state level, every child and adult, they can go to the CDPHE website under the Board of Health. There's an email. You can contact the Board of Health. You can read the bill. You can read the rule, and you can have input, but you need to do it before August 24th.
Okay. Now, you know what? I was not aware of that, that there was going to be a year delay on this because of people pulling their kids out of school. So tell me a little bit more about that.
So it's a combination of factors. It's a combination of it was a fast-track kind of shady process that rammed this bill through the legislature during a Sunday of COVID when the requirement was fast, friendly, and free. This bill is neither nor fast, friendly, or free. It takes away your freedom, ironically. And so the health department didn't have time to implement it for this year's school year. And then the thousands of parents, unprecedented backlash of parents who contacted their state lawmakers and the governor's office and the health department saying, you're already facing an exodus out of public schools. This is just adds, you know, gasoline to the fire of killing your public school system in funding, per pupil funding. So they are proceeding with the rulemaking to implement. And I will say that also the homeschoolers, they have deviated from the law, from the bill, and they are saying in this rule that homeschoolers must submit their exemptions to the state. That is absolutely not authorized in statute. So you should have some input on this rule hearing before August 24th to the Board of Health.
Okay, again, tell us what to do exactly, Pam Long, on that.
Kim, I can send you some direct links, but for your listeners, go to the CDPHE website, find the Board of Health page amongst there, and then look for the upcoming meeting and the agenda, which talks about SB 163, which is called School Immunization Rulemaking, and either email directly the Board of Health or request the link to submit your input, which is likely what they will send you anyhow. And request that it be given to every member of the Board of Health and that you receive confirmation, because often there are gatekeepers who do not get that information to the Board of Health members, and that it is included. Your input is included in public records so that you can verify that it was included.
And that needs to be done by next Monday.
That's right, before August 24th.
Okay, so let's get back to this important op-ed that you did. You went through and researched each of these deaths of despair. And you said domestic violence, cardiac arrest and stroke, drug overdose and substance abuse, homicide. And you said, interestingly enough, Colorado is the only state that has actually had a decline in these numbers. It doesn't take much to think that that is probably not accurate reporting, Pam Long.
Well, and I've been chewing on this since the end of July, and here's what I came up with. If that is true, if you can believe that Colorado is the only state that has a decrease in deaths of despair, then we as a state should have a press conference. We should be telling all the other states, the nation, what our secret is, what we are doing. We have this unprecedented resilience where there is the greatest decrease in gross domestic product in history, the greatest increase in unemployment since 1976 when we started tracking it. And yet we are decreasing in deaths of despair here in Colorado, that we should be just trailblazing the way for the nation and letting them know how we are accomplishing this.
Yeah, I haven't heard the governor talk about that in his weekly press conferences, interestingly enough. So maybe he'll do that this next week, now that you have brought that to our attention.
We've got
We've got just about a minute left, Pam Long. What is the final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners this morning?
I would say to your listeners, when someone says you don't care about COVID deaths because maybe you're not wearing a mask, then you should say, actually, I do care about deaths of despair that are tenfold projected to exceed the current COVID-19 deaths for one single virus.
And if you wanted to have some backup, you could actually probably print off your op-ed, Pam Long, and people could have it in their purse, and they could hand it to somebody when they ask them about that. I think that would be an excellent idea. So, Pam Long, I really appreciate it. I would highly recommend that people go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and take a look at this op-ed. It will really give you a lot of great information. Pam Long, I so appreciate you staying on top of all this, and it's really, really important. And again, our call for our churches to step up and do what they're supposed to do. I really appreciate that, Pam Long.
Thank you for what you're doing, Kim.
You betcha. And our quote for today is Albert Einstein. And I think it's very apropos as we look at Colorado's reporting on these deaths of despair. It says, whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters. And that is Albert Einstein. Again, whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.